Okay, well, hello and welcome, everybody. I'm so delighted that you are here today. I'm Carrie Gallant of GallantSolutionsInc.com, and today is Module 1 of the Clear Your Money Clutter Breakthrough Program. So today's focus is the top 6 practical steps to clear your money clutter quickly and easily so you can create a smoother path to greater prosperity. And I just want to say that I'm so glad that you're all here. We're going to dive right in, but first I just want to acknowledge you and thank you. I really acknowledge you for being here, and I'm so proud of each and every one of you for being with us today. And I'm so excited about the journey that we're going to be taking over the next month together. And, you know, it really takes a tremendous amount of courage to invest in yourself in the way that you all have. You know, this program is all about clearing out the gunk around your money and getting into action, and that really takes a lot of courage, and I want to acknowledge you for that. And it also takes courage to invest in yourself and take a leap of faith by investing not only your money, but your time and your energy and your attention. And I want to say that I honor you and I thank you for sharing space with me in this program. So I want to share with you how this call is going to flow. First of all, I do have everyone muted right now because I'm going to be running through a lot of stuff to get you started and also delivering the content to you, but I do want to open the line at the end of the call and hear from you and answer your questions and do a little spotlight coaching with a couple of you. So when I do that, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to use the *6 on your phone keypad, so that's *6, and that will mute yourself if you have any background noise. So it's *6 to mute yourself. You might want to jot this down. And then it's *7 to unmute. And know that I'm going to be doing this in the other calls in the program as well. I've got a little dashboard here that I can check and see if there's any background noise where it's coming from. So I might ask you to mute yourself if I don't see you muting. That way we just keep things a little sane when there's some background noise. And I want to keep this as interactive as we can when we're in the Q&A or the discussion mode. Now, I know we actually have somebody who's joining us from Spain, but she might actually be joining us on the recording. So we have another one from Vancouver as well who will be listening in on the recording, and I suspect a couple more. Busy day at noon hour, so we will have a few people joining us that way as well. All right, so I'm just going to put everyone back on mute, and we'll dive back in. I also want to welcome those who will be listening in later. One of our participants is not able to join us live on any of the calls because it really conflicts with her schedule. So I want to welcome all of those who are listening in on the audio. And, you know, we are going to have opportunities in every call for you to ask questions. It just might be a little bit less today because I want to get you oriented and everything. But in the other calls, we'll have lots of opportunities for discussion and questions and answers. Now, the second thing is I want to go over your program benefits and some logistics. So you're really clear as to how this entire program is going to flow, how you're going to benefit, and how we're going to work together. And the third thing, of course, I have to share with you today is the content. And you've probably figured out by now that I'm really passionate about helping my clients, and I create every program with one intention, and that is really to empower you to get the transformation that you're here to get. So everything that I do in a program is very deliberate so that we can reach that end. All right, so I'm going to touch briefly on what we're going to be covering, and I'm going to cover those logistics first. So quick reminders about our upcoming calls. The next call will be next Tuesday, April the 10th. That's your bonus call. And then on April 17th, that's Tuesday, and also Friday that week, April 20th. So all of these calls are going to be at 12 p.m. Pacific, so make sure you're making note of the time for that. And as you know, all these calls are recorded and transcribed, and we will usually be sending you the recording within 1 or 2 days. But it's actually going to be available to you right away as soon as this call is over. Within about an hour, if you come back to the event page, you'll be able to download the recording right there or listen to it right on the page. The transcription itself takes about 5 to 7 days to get back from the transcription company, and then it will be sent out to you as well. So you won't miss anything at all. Now, by the way, if you already know that you have to miss a call because of your schedule, here's what I highly recommend you do. Don't just think, oh, I'll just listen to it later. I really want you to put it in your calendar. So, for example, if you know that you can't make next week's call, go ahead and put it on your calendar to listen to it, say, on Thursday afternoon, which is 2 days afterwards. You know for sure the recording will be posted, and you can block out that time. Now, each call is about 75 minutes, and we might go longer on a couple of calls for a maximum of 90 minutes, where we get into some really juicy issues in the Q&A period, but we will end at the 90-minute point. So go ahead and put those in your calendar right away, and that way it'll be there. You want to be in the flow and not missing anything, and you don't want a backlog of calls that you haven't listened to and not knowing when that's going to happen, because that, you know, kind of feels like, oh, I don't know, clutter. Now, as you see, as we're going to go through today, you really want to be intentional, purposeful, and committed to your learning path and to the shifts that you want to make and to implement as a result of this program. So this is our first training call, so I'm going to spend a couple of minutes giving you a little bit of orientation on what we're going to be covering and how to get the most out of this program. I'm also going to make sure you're clear about the bonuses so you know what to expect and how to take advantage of those. And then we're going to dive into that content today. And I really love teaching these six practical steps to clearing money clutter in the first call because it really gives you some practical exercises that you can immediately use to give yourself an awesome and powerful foundation with your money. Now, your bonuses, I've already mentioned about the calls and the recordings and the transcriptions. And you also have the handouts for today's session. You should have already received them earlier today via email. And you're going to get handouts before each session, so templates, checklists, and any scripts. And, of course, we have the bonus call with Melody LeBaron. That's next Tuesday. She's the professional organizer and feng shui consultant, and she's going to share with you how to partner with your work and home space in a beautiful way that's going to support you in transforming your relationship with money. Now, I hope you had a chance to listen to the interview that I did with Melody a couple of weeks ago, and she shared how she discovered her gift for organizing and beautifying space, and she also gave a little bit of a taste of what she's going to share on the bonus call. So if you have misplaced that link and you want to listen to it again, you can either let me know at the end of the call or you can pop an email over to my team at support@gallantsolutionsinc.com, and my team will look after that for you. Now, your second bonus call is your private money breakthrough call with me. And we're going to schedule your session starting sometime later this week. You're going to get an email from my team asking you to book your session in my online calendar system. And we will probably end up having those calls in about 2 or 3 weeks, given my schedule. And now I know a couple of you in the program have already had a money breakthrough session with me as part of a group of those sessions that I donated to Wealth Academy in February. And so you already know about the amazing shifts and transformations that can happen both during the actual session as well as afterwards. And, you know, this is great because you get to have another one as part of this program. And in thinking about this, I want to encourage each of you to take note of what comes up for you during this program, even as we go through this call today, so that you can bring your biggest issue to your money breakthrough call, and we can bust through it and take care of it right there. Okay, so here's a reminder of what you're going to be learning in this training program over the 3 sessions. So today we're going to cover those top 6 practical steps to clear your money clutter. And then module 2 is about money clutter in relationships and how to confidently talk about money with grace and ease, even when it's a difficult conversation. And, you know, as women, we talk with each other and we talk with others about our sex lives and our intimate relationships much more easily than we talk about our relationships with money. Or we talk about money in our relationships with other people. And we want to be talking about money more. And resolving your blocks with money and clearing your clutter with money are 2 key steps towards having more and better conversations about money. And it's also about making more, having more, keeping more, and even sharing more money. And so speaking of that, then our 3rd module, again, we're going to be focusing on increase, how to get ready and step out of your way so you don't self-sabotage your next income leap. So here's how you can get the most out of this class and out of this program. Take a little sip of water there. You want to be on the calls live if you are able to, and I know that one or two of you cannot be on here today. but as much as you're able to, be on the calls live as much as possible. You also want to print out the handouts so that you can review them on the call or have them open on your computer so that you can follow along with them. And you want to be ready to ask your questions when we do get to the Q&A portion. So, you know, maybe jot them down as we're going through. Or you can even send in your questions to my team after the call, and we'll be ready for them next time. And again, that email is support@gallantsolutionsinc.com. There's also a box on the event page where you can submit your question via that, and I'll be tracking those throughout the event as well. So in today's first module, we're also going to be covering mindsets, the core mindsets or paradigms that will pull you forward and change the way you look at things at your money. Now, some of you may know who Wayne Dyer is. He's been here in Vancouver a couple of times. And one of my favorite sayings from Wayne Dyer is, when you change the way you look at the things you look at change. So we're going to change the way you look at money and at everything you do. And the result is that everything will change, including your relationship with money and even your money itself. You know, money is really the currency of life, and it's tied up with our mission and our values. And there's a core paradigm or mindset that influences us with money, and it's a core paradigm of this entire program. And that is, how you do money is how you do everything. Now, you can go ahead and write that down, because this is really the foundation and core mindset of everything regarding money. In terms of my own life and business and how I'm looking at everything. And you also have a handout for money, the five money mindsets. And you're going to see how this mindset in particular plays out in today's call. You're going to see that how someone does money is how they really do everything. Now, I want to remind you of something else that's really important. You do not need to already be perfect with money, because nobody is, not even my mentor, who is a multi-million dollar businesswoman living a dream life in Arizona with a stable of Andalusian horses. Now, if you haven't picked up on my voice, that's really one of my dreams. So you don't even have to be debt-free. A lot of people do carry debt. And I have a debt forgiveness and debt payoff system program that shows you how to get out of debt. Now, we're not covering that in this program because this is not a get-out-of-debt program. And I also want to be really clear and transparent. Those of you who know me know this is true. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a financial planner. I'm not even a tax lawyer. I'm not any of those kinds of things. But I do have all of those resources to refer you to if that is what you're looking for after this program. And, you know, one of those resources is, for example, Women's Financial Learning Center, financial planners and money coaches here in BC and also across Canada and Ontario in particular. I was just on a call with them this morning as their monthly guest expert, so we have an ongoing, long-standing relationship in terms of helping each other, helping our clients. What I am, however, is I am a business coach and an entrepreneur who has herself experienced and witnessed many other entrepreneurs and professionals, especially women, who have deep-rooted blocks around money that stop us from reaching our goals and our potential in life as well as in business, and that really includes our financial situation. So this program, while it's not about getting out of debt, it is about clearing all kinds of clutter related to your money, both practical, emotional, and even psychological clutter. And, you know, getting out of debt is not an overnight thing. On occasion it is, but most people don't even get into debt overnight, and it takes a little bit of time to get out of debt. And by clearing your money clutter, if you follow and implement what I'm sharing with you, you will be so much more supported and so much freer to deal with your debt. And a couple of the practical steps I'm going to share with you today will specifically help you begin to manage your money and change your money relationship in a way that will help you with any debt payoff plan. What you do need to be doing is to be actively engaged with this program and the material I'm sharing with you. What matters is that you need to be doing the work and to be in the flow and the process. You really need to be taking action. That's what I mean when I say be actively engaged. That's really how you're going to get the most out of this program. And when we do the money breakthrough call, and each of you will have that private call with me at some point during or shortly after the three modules, when we do that call, you'll want to be actively engaged with immediately implementing the action steps that you'll commit to in that call. So here's the really good news now. This stuff that I'm going to teach you starting today is really very simple. And what I've learned about money is that it can be very simple. You know, we often make it really complex, and some of our professionals make it really complex, but it doesn't have to be. You know, if you believe that money is too complex, then we want to work on changing that. And, you know, believe me, I know it can be a real challenge to shift over to making things simple. I've been a lawyer, and, you know, we're trained and actually hardwired to look for and sometimes even create those complexities. So here's the truth and another mindset I really want you to get. Money is very simple. How you do money is how you do everything. And I really like to keep things very simple. Are there complex things related to money? Absolutely. And that's when you want to find an expert in that area, like an expert to help you decide what vehicles to invest your money in. And that's when I go to my very good friends, Tracy Themes and Kamal Basra at Sophia Financial, for example. You know, when you have $500,000 or more to invest, that's definitely who you want to go to. And it sounds like it might be complex, but even Tracy and Kamal might send you home to do a very simple exercise first before they will even help you decide where to invest your money. I just spent the morning with Tracy a few days ago in her Empowered Investing class, and I know I saw a couple of you there too. And Tracy explained her and Kamal's five-step process to financial planning. And where did it begin? A very simple roadmap. Where am I now? And knowing what your current financial situation or reality is, you know, some of the six practical steps I'm going to show you to clear your money clutter are also going to help you with that step on Tracy's roadmap. Now, it can be risky to assume that people who have a lot of money, such as Tracy and Kamal's ideal clients, if you assume that they don't also experience money clutter. You know, there are people at all levels with money who have issues around clutter, about being a victim when it comes to money. They have feelings of helplessness or powerlessness, or they might have a lot of guilt, shame, avoidance, or denial. And this is all showing up with money. And we're going to get into this deeply. Now, it can also be showing up in other areas of their life or your life and business, guaranteed every time. And you're going to learn how to spot that in yourself and how it shows up in your life. And here's what's really neat. I'm going to walk you through a couple of those mindset pieces as we move forward. And we're going to keep referring back to these mindsets. You know, first and foremost, again, how you do money is how you do everything. Second, money is very simple. The other piece in working with mindsets that's good to know is that you can create a money breakthrough and approach it from the inside out. In other words, it becomes an emotional release. It provides relief, even forgiveness. And we're going to be doing that sometime after the second module. So the mindsets and the money breakthrough are where we're going to be working from the inside out. And we're also going to be working from the outside in. And what I mean by outside in are those very simple, practical, fairly unemotional types of actions that you can take. So we're going to be looking at it both ways, from the inside out and from the outside in, starting today. So I want to talk about something else that this course is not. It's not a course in the law of attraction, although that can certainly complement this work and vice versa. Nor is this a course in prosperity training, although, again, that can certainly be a result of your doing both the inner and the outer work in this program. This is really deep emotional work, and it's a lot of practical action. So go back to our core mindset. How you do money is how you do everything. And this gets much deeper the more you work with this mindset. You could also say it in reverse. How you do everything is how you do money. Can you see how that works? It really relates to your actions, to the practical things that you do every day. Habits and behavior. This, by the way, also includes your thoughts. The millions of thoughts that go through your head every day. Are they positive? Are they negative? Are they expansive? Or are they contracting? And this is so important because your thoughts feed your energy and ultimately your actions. So it is all related. And when you have your money breakthrough session, you're going to see how your current paradigm or mindset has been blocking your path and really causing some major clutter here. And you're going to be able to choose a new one that will take its place and bring you forward into the new clutter-free world that you're creating for yourself. Now, a little bit more about mindsets, because when we're changing paradigms, when we're leaving behind those old beliefs and patterns, those subconscious, even family legacies, it might feel like it's hard to really fully buy into the new mindset. Even the one I've repeated a few times, you might feel like you can't really buy into it yet. So here's a great way you can do that. You can act as if it were true and start making decisions from that place. And eventually you will feel the truth of these mindsets as applicable to you. So another way to think about it is to take action from the place that you want to be, not from where you are. Your old mindsets have got you where you are today. Your new mindsets are going to take you to that place you want to be. So here's another mindset I want you to take a second to write down, because I want you to do every single exercise. So you can write this down. Carrie wants me to do every single exercise. And that holds true even if you think, oh, that's really simple, or oh, that doesn't apply to me, or I already have that one handled. Now, especially if you're saying the last one, that's exactly why you need to do the exercises. You know, if you're someone who says, I already know that, or I already have that handled, I want you to really feel the energy of that statement. So even if this isn't something you're saying to yourself, I want you to feel the energy of that, saying, I already know that, or, oh, I've already got that handled. It's like it's closing off an opportunity. You know, if someone says that to me, oh, I already know that, or I already have it handled, I find that really is telling me something. Because again, how you do money is how you do everything. And this whole course is around money. So how you're doing this course is absolutely a reflection of how you do a lot of other things and everything else in your life. So, you know, if you're somebody who says that, who says, oh, I have that handled. Oh, I already know that. Where else are you closing off opportunities? Where are you not seeing the opportunity? And really, where are you afraid of being a student, quite truthfully? And, you know, I get this. As adults especially, we tend not to like being novices. We tend not to like being a beginner at anything anymore because, you know, we're grown-ups. We're supposed to know this stuff. But I like this approach of using the idea of the beginner's mind. You know, if we hit that approach, that opens up things a lot. And, you know, there's something valuable when you do learn new things, a new way of doing something. You actually are creating new neural pathways in your brain. It's like creating a new path in the forest. It can be uncomfortable for a while. It's like you're walking along and you're getting branches thwacking you on the shins or even across your face. That's really uncomfortable. So I want you to expect that discomfort will come up during this program as you're learning these new things. And notice it when it arrives, because actually that's when you know that you're moving forward. And we're going to examine that discomfort. You know, Socrates said it 2 millennia ago, an unexamined life is not worth living. So let's examine that discomfort and work on shifting it. Because I know this about you. I know that you want something else other than what you already have, or you wouldn't be here in this program with us. And I also know that you already are in some discomfort with your clutter or with your money. Or else, again, you wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't be the coach or the mentor that you want me to be if I didn't lead you into a new place where you will be challenged and you will be uncomfortable before you find that relief, that meaningful and lasting relief, and not the short-lived relief that comes from buying new shoes, going on a shopping spree, or, you know, downing some potato chips or a bunch of chocolate. much as I adore those snacks myself. We want to lead you into a new and meaningful and lasting place. So I want you to get into the practice and just notice something over the next few days. Now, this is a hint on one of your assignment pieces. So I want you to notice, when it comes to money, where it is that you feel expansion or contraction. I just want you to notice it. You don't need to do anything about it right away. Just the noticing of it alone is already going to help put you into more of a place of expansion. And I bet with all this talk about money so far that you might actually be feeling a little contracted right now. You might feel this physically in your body or even energetically. And I covered this recently in my Show Me the Money Honey teleseminar. So I want to just take a minute and just review that. So if you drop into your body for a moment, just allow yourself to drop in, maybe close your eyes, and take a moment and really scan the sensations in your body. Notice what you're feeling. This is practice. Are you feeling a tightness anywhere right now? You know, maybe it's in your solar plexus, right under your rib cage. That's a common place to feel tight around money. This is your power center. Or maybe you're feeling that contraction up in your upper chest over your heart. This is your heart chakra. And, you know, this might be energetically related to a belief that you might have about your deservability with money. Or maybe you feel the tension in your neck or your throat area. And that's your communication center, your throat chakra. And this might be a sign that you have a difficulty talking about money. So what do I mean by contraction when it comes to money? These are emotions or feelings, negative feelings of anxiety, sadness, regret, resentment, shame. These are all contraction emotions. The contrast side, the feelings and emotions of expansion, are feelings of joy, abundance, relaxation, happiness, security, and gratitude. These are all expansion. And when it comes to money, we want to feel expansion, not contraction. Because when you feel that contraction around money, you're going to be much more likely to either give away your power with money or avoid doing what it is you really need to be doing when it comes to your money, avoiding that relationship, avoiding those conversations. So a good example is we might feel greatly contracted when we think about paying our bills or when we think about debt. And we're going to get into those practical strategies in just a minute. The good news is that we can switch our experience from contraction to expansion very quickly, especially the more you practice it. The simplest way, again, is to first notice where you are feeling it. Is it contraction? Is it expansion? Very active noticing starts to place your energy, your sensation, more into expansion. Then you can also make a conscious choice to move into a more expansive emotion. And a great way to do that is through gratitude. The more you feel positive emotions like gratitude and expansion, the more often you practice that, even if it's only momentary, the more opportunities for money, the more opportunities for your money relationship you're going to be open to and create. And remember to use your new mindsets that we're learning and acting as if they are true, making decisions from that place. This also moves you into expansion. Okay, so what is money clutter anyway? Basically, money clutter is all about avoidance, and it's also about a lack of clarity. You know, typically you might be avoiding doing something like paying your bills on a timely basis or having a potentially difficult conversation with somebody around money. And every time you're avoiding doing something, chances are that underneath all of the procrastinating behaviors, including any real dislike of doing the thing that you're avoiding, is often a lack of clarity. And women especially, in all the work that I do with women around negotiating, around having difficult conversations, we get inert when we lack clarity. And inertia is a form of avoidance. So money clutter shows up in a variety of different ways. It's about avoiding those potentially difficult conversations, and we're going to cover that in Module 2. It's also about not practicing having enough money in the bank so that you don't ever have to worry that you'll bounce a check. And I'm going to actually teach you a secret for just that in Module 3. Money clutter is really anything regarding money that doesn't feel expansive. It has some form of contraction to it. So it could show up in any one of those negative emotions that we talked about. It could be about avoiding asking for a raise, avoiding increasing your fees, or avoiding getting paid by somebody who owes you money. That's in a nutshell what money clutter is. And, you know, if these things aren't handled promptly and efficiently, they have some kind of an emotional charge, and they start to pile up. You think of it like dirty laundry. You know, if your partner or maybe one of your kids or even yourself, if you leave laundry around and it becomes piled up and you don't put the clothes away on a regular basis, it really piles up, doesn't it? So money clutter is like that too. It does pile up physically, as we're going to talk about, but it also piles up energetically. And I know you know this already. It's the energetic aspect of this that is huge compared to the physical. And so the practical exercises I want to walk you through help you deal with the physical aspect to enable the energetic aspect to expand. So here's one of the places I know where avoidance or denial can come up, and it might come up right in this program. And, you know, remember, how you do money is how you do everything. So in this series, it's likely that some of you, but not all of you, will get triggered in some way as we work through this program. And by triggered, I mean you feel impacted or affected. You'll feel some kind of emotional charge. And that's to be expected. We are talking about money, and that's what happens very often. There's a charge around it. Something in this course is likely going to trigger you. And I just expect it, and I'm good with it. So I want you to bring that to the Q&A for some coaching. Okay, so we're still talking a little bit about the inside out here. And some of you are really going to want to be happy about digging in, and you're going to say, bring it on, because that's what you're here for. It's what you invested in, and you really want that money breakthrough. And a couple of you are going to want to escape. And here's what happens, because I can already tell because I've seen this happen many times. This is the way it might show up for you. At one point, you might say, oh, you know, this isn't really for me. I don't have as much time to do this as I thought. I'm actually not that interested after all. Or you might say to yourself, you know what, there's too much of this, or there's too little of that, or now isn't the right time. And, you know, for the one of you or two of you who in this course who might be saying this at some point to yourself, you know who you are. And I want you to bust yourself on this, because what's happening is you're doing something that's telling yourself, you're telling yourself something that's taking you out. And this happens to a small number of people. And if you happen to be one of these people, I want you to catch yourself and say, oh, there it is. I remember in that first training call, Carrie said we were going to get triggered. So this must be my trigger, and this is how it's showing up for me. And you can be compassionate with yourself about that, because I am very compassionate about this. Because remember, how you do money is how you do everything. So if you get triggered and you want to flake out, you want to bow out, or you want to escape or not show up for a call, and you can see the excuses coming up, just say to yourself, there it is. She was right. And you can even bust yourself on the call with me, because I'd love it. And I'm not going to make you wrong for it. I'm actually going to be really proud of you for busting yourself, for being open to having that awareness about yourself. All right, let's talk about money clutter and the practical area. And we're going to start working from the outside in now. So there are the six areas to clear your money clutter in the practical section. And these are, they're very basic, but you're going to be amazed at how impactful they can be. And you're going to be amazed at how simple they are. They're probably so simple that you may not even have done these steps. And everybody pretty much has something in each of these areas. And there's another handout that you would have received this morning that has all six steps on it. So the first of these is the step that is about who owes you money. So remember that money clutter is the stuff that you haven't wanted to deal with for whatever emotional reasons, and that's fine. We're going to get into the emotional stuff in your money breakthrough call. Here today, we're really focused on the simple, practical steps you can take right away that's going to start moving you forward. So if you take out your handout, you can think about even jotting down now, who is it that owes you money on the first page there? Now, if you really stop to think about it, this can include a lot of different scenarios. It could include a client who's late on her payments. It could even be an employer that you used to work for, or maybe you still are working for. You know, I had a client a few years ago who worked for a small entrepreneur, and this entrepreneur that she worked for, she loved working for him. She was very close to him, considered him a friend, but he had a really hard time paying her some money that he owed her for some work that she'd done for him. So that's an example. Now, this can also include money that is owed to you from a company. So it could be individuals, could be a friend or a family. It could also include getting a reimbursement from maybe an insurance company for a claim that you put in a while ago. Could be like for health benefits. Say you put in a claim for a chiropractor. How are you tracking that? Or it could be a manufacturer. What about that rebate check that you put in? Say you buy something and it comes with, you know, a $20 rebate. You send in the form. Have you received that check yet? You know, you send off the rebate form and you expect to see the check coming in. Or maybe it's a refund. You know, I put just about everything we put on our credit cards, whether I have a business credit card and we have a credit card for personal stuff. And we put everything on the credit card and then we pay it off in full each month. But, you know, I might return something. And, you know, I, for example, we buy most of our electronics at London Drugs because they have this no-fuss return policy, no questions asked. And they also have a great insurance policy if you want to add extra insurance onto. So many things we buy these days seem to expire after 2 years, so that extra insurance can be useful. So you want to check on your credit card bill. Did that refund come through properly? You want to be really vigilant about tracking that. Remember, how you do money is how you do everything. It's this simple, folks. It's this simple. So let's say a credit card statement comes in. Now, you're reviewing them regularly, so maybe you find an incorrect charge, even for a relatively small amount. And I'll give you an example. Recently, about, I think, 2 months ago, I needed to get new business checks ordered from my business account. So I was in on one of my regular visits into my local branch. I know the people there, and I asked the teller if she would do a repeat order of my previous checks. So she filed it for me, and that saved me a little extra of having to call up the check company. So the bank was willing to do that for me. But, you know, when I saw the amount that was billed to my credit card, I knew there'd been a mistake. Somewhere along the way, my request got mistranslated, and the wrong package of checks had been ordered. Because when I looked at my credit card, I could see that the charge I had was double the amount, and the cost difference was about $80. Now, I'm paying attention to it because everything counts. So I did what I needed to do. I called the bank. They were good about it, and they said, oh, no problem. We'll reorder those checks for you right away. Just bring the original order into the bank when you get it, and we'll send it back for you. And they let me know that it was going to take about 3 weeks for that rebate to show up in my account. So I'm watching my card statement regularly. That was about a month ago. So when the statement came in last week, I looked to see if the refund had happened, and it was there. So that was good. Now, if I hadn't been checking, I might not even know, has that income come back? Has that refund come back, rather? So we want to be looking at that. And, you know, it could be easier with a smaller amount, say it was only $10 or $20, to be tempted. And I know that I've had moments when I've been tempted. And you might say to yourself, gosh, it's such a small amount. Is this really worth me pursuing? But you know what? Absolutely. And you'll be glad that you did, because that's about standing in your power with money when somebody owes you money. So when somebody owes you money, you want to be tracking that too. So you can use that tracking form to identify who owes you money. What is it, a person? Is it a company? And what is the amount? All right. So, you know, somebody who's owing you money might be a client type of thing. That might be the most common situation to go to if you're an entrepreneur. Or, you know, it could be a friend or a relative who's borrowed money and hasn't made any payments, or they've fallen behind in their payments to you. Or it could be interest money that's supposed to be there in your RRSP account, and it's not there for you, or there's somebody has made a mistake. There are such things as human errors, as you all know. Now, so you're going to use the handout. You're going to make a list of all those places and see who owes me money, what kind of company, or who is it that owes me money. And this is going to allow you to start taking action on collecting that money. You need to know how much it's for and where it fits. What's the plan? You want to have a plan for how you're going to get that money. And now, you may not even know when they're supposed to pay you. You might be, you know, is it supposed to be a check or is it supposed to be a refund on your credit card? You want to know that. Otherwise, you're in some form of not paying attention to your money. And that's a form of avoidance, which, of course, is a form of clutter when it comes to your money. And the other thing is, too, is when you're not paying attention to your money, it's kind of a form of disrespect. It's disrespecting your money. And you really don't want to be disrespecting your money. It's not a very expansive feeling. So one way I want you to start paying attention to your money is by tracking it. And you can start that by using that form that I've made for you to track who owes you money. How much do they owe you? And if you already know when they will pay you what they owe, you want to enter it there. If not, then think about when it is that you want to have that money back. And then you also want to include the action that you're going to take so that you'll ensure that you receive that money. Now, that action might be around having that conversation with them. And we're going to talk about how to have those conversations in Module 2. Now, I know that with some of you, for some times, when a friend or a family member, someone you're close to, you've loaned them money or they owe you money for something, and it might be a really old debt that they owe to you, you might be thinking, and you might actually ultimately decide that what you really want to do is to really let that go, that forgiving that amount may be the decision that you want to go with. And that may be fine, but I want you to hold off on doing that right away if that's something you feel compelled to do, because I want you to check in with yourself. Are you just taking the easy way out here? Are you hiding out from respecting your money, respecting yourself fully here? Are you taking the easy way out? I also want you to wait until after Module 2 because I'm going to teach you a simple way to have a potentially difficult conversation with somebody around money. Because it's avoiding those conversations that might stop you from stepping into that powerful and respectful relationship with your money. You might also have a sticky issue around money that is leading you to want to take the easy way out here and hide out from that. You might be feeling guilty when it comes to asking for money, or you might have a belief around it being greedy to ask for money. And if that's you, I want you to wait for your money breakthrough session. And we're going to bust through that issue, and then you're going to be able to make that decision from a brand new place. Okay, so to fully respect your money, you also want to track where you owe money. So if you flip over that handout or go to the second sheet, if you've got it on your computer screen, you can see that you're also going to be tracking the places where you owe money. Now, this can include any credit card companies that you owe, say you carry a balance, or you're just paying it off at the end of each month. You can use the second form of part of the form for that too. In fact, I'd encourage you to print off an extra copy of it because what we really want to do here is to list all the other places. Credit cards are obvious, but I want you to list all the other places, people, or companies to whom you owe any amount of money. It could be a dollar, it could be $10, it could be $100. And this could also, by the way, include your taxes. You know, if you haven't completed your 2011 taxes here in Canada, they're due at the end of April, you may not yet know what you owe to Revenue Canada. So that might be outstanding for you. If it's your business taxes, depending on your year end, you may have outstanding taxes, your tax forms to complete. You may not know whether you owe any money to Revenue Canada, but that's, again, it's an unidentified potential debt that you owe to Revenue Canada. Now, maybe it could also be a subscription that you have. Maybe you're late in making a payment for it. Maybe you ordered one of those magazines where you got the first few copies free and they're still sending you a bill for the payment, or you haven't yet paid for the whole subscription. Or it could even be a utility service, say hydro or telephone that you have outstanding. The issue here is we want to get these cleaned up. It's like everything that's cluttering up your world and your relationship with money. It's also cluttering up your relationship with that person and even that company. It's even cluttering your relationship with Revenue Canada if you have outstanding taxes. So I want to put a bit more about emotions and energy here. You know, I have a sense that some of you might be feeling resentful about your bills, and that's contraction energy. So you want to refocus that energy on gratitude. Again, go to an expansive source of energy about feeling resentful or negative about money that you owe others. Do you want to focus on gratitude? Maybe it's gratitude for the service or the product or the experience that you've already had or that you've already partially paid for through your credit card. And you've received some value. So if you move into gratitude, so you can complete the exercise here. So your action steps under here, number one, you're going to want to track this money, both what's owed to you and what you owe to others. And this is a practical way to start shifting those emotions, your energy, and ultimately your relationship with money. Once you know where everything is, then you can decide what you're going to do about it and begin to take action to bring it back into alignment, to bring it out of that inertia, that avoidance stage. All right, let's move on to number two. So our second step here is about having bills and receipt clutter. Now, this is really common. It's clutter when you have bills stacked up on your kitchen counter or you've got receipts piled up somewhere. It's kind of like the snow drift of paper. And, you know, when you have that stuff piled up, what happens every time you walk by it? Do you have expansive thoughts that you're feeling happy and joyful about the pile? Probably not. You probably walk by feeling guilty or feeling nagged or burdened or even overwhelmed by all this stuff. And whatever the feeling is, it's probably contracted and not expansive. You know, I don't know anybody who has stacks of stuff sitting there who feels expansive about it, especially if it's stacks of bills or even receipts. Now, I'm not going to be surprised, by the way, if you do have those piles, and nor am I going to judge you, because I've learned not to assume that somebody you meet who looks professional, successful, and organized, I've learned not to assume that those people who look professional, they can look successful and organized, they may not have their money stuff all nice, neat, and tidy. Because you would be shocked and amazed at the high percentage of people who have some kind of money clutter or money mess that's happening in their lives. Now, for example, I know of someone who was probably the most extreme case. She had a lot of anger, very negative emotion around money. And she would just literally throw the bills into a pile. But it was a pile on her desk. And her bills happened to be in with all of her projects and her client records. So all kinds of things were in that pile. So imagine that the bills and all that anger is thrown into that pile with all her business building stuff. Does that sound like a business that's thriving, or does it sound like a total mess and confused? Absolutely. And you can guess what state her business was in. Her business was very difficult for her at that stage. You know, with any small amount of success that she experienced, she immediately took herself out with some kind of major drama or problem, because it was all embedded in this clutter. It makes sense, doesn't it? So what you want to do with your bills instead is to be very practical. You want to have one spot that you put all of your bills, one spot that you put all of your receipts. And you want to make it nice, clean, and even joyful. You want to have a brand new folder and write a clean label. And that's really all you need. It's simple. Brand new folder, clean label, right on it, you know. Bills or receipts, or you can have them both together. It doesn't have to be fancy, but you can have a bit of fun with it. You want it to feel respectful, and, you know, you can go to town with it and make it beautiful if that's what inspires you. And, you know, some of you may even have a bookkeeper who takes care of entering and tracking all of your expenses, and that's fine. You still want to have all of your bills and receipts in one folder, maybe two, one for bills and one for expense for receipts. What you don't want is you don't want to have to be looking at this stuff all the time with it reminding and nagging at you all the time. And we're going to also talk about payment schedules in just a few minutes. But here we're focused on eliminating the physical clutter, ensuring that all your bills and receipts are accessible and in one place. Now, if you're in business for yourself, you might need or want to assign receipts to categories right away because it makes it easier for your bookkeeper, or if you do the bookkeeping yourself, it makes it easier when it comes time to enter it all. So you might have a file folder with tabbed categories for that. Now, you know, if you travel a lot, you also might have a bunch of receipts when you get back from traveling. And, you know, when I go away on business, as soon as I come home, I unpack and I have all the receipts right there, and I just label them with whatever it was put a paperclip on them so they're all together, and I stick them in that folder. So I don't have piles of receipts hanging around. You want to take care of them immediately, usually that day or the next day. So action steps here practical step number two. You want to decide where you're going to keep your bills, decide the type of folder, the type of holder you're going to have them in, decide on one place where it's accessible, and make it attractive. Out of sight, out of mind for the moment. For the moment. Okay. Number three, you want to schedule those payments. Now, I've found that people have an enormous amount of stress and anxiety and a lot of drama and wasted energy around something as simple as paying their bills. I used to be one as well. I would wait until the last possible day in the billing cycle to pay the bill. I thought this was really smart. Why pay them earlier than I really needed to? I had 20 days, or in some cases, I had 30 days. I believed that I could make a better interest rate by holding it longer in my account, which happened to be my checking account, by the way, so it was not a great interest-bearing account. So I liken this to what my mom used to do every Friday night when it came around time to go for grocery shopping. She would run around town in the car to half a dozen stores with her coupon book in hand and her sales sheets, trying to get everything and the best sale possible. Now, did I mention she was running around town in a car? So guess what she really ended up paying a lot for, right? All the money that she saved on the price of SpaghettiOs and whatever was she's buying, she ended up spending on gas. So this is really about focusing on small things and losing sight of the bigger picture. The result for me in my bill paying was all month long. I had to remember to pay those bills. I had to remember this because they were all due on different days. So I had to lug around in my head or Filofax. I had to lug around the notion that I still had to pay the gas bill, the Visa bill, the water bill, the insurance bill, and on and on and on. So I bet you get the picture. And I also bet that some of you are doing this too. This is really clutter. It's clogging up your energy. It's clogging up your time. It's mental clutter. So even if you're using a reminder system, maybe in your calendar, to remind you to pay all those bills on all those separate days, it's still sitting there waiting for you for that date to come up. So what you want to move to instead is a simpler, regular scheduled time each month where you pay all your bills at once. Ideally, this is once a month, or maybe twice a month max. Now, I did say ideally, and I'm going to get to the non-ideal situations that one or two of you might be in just a minute. The idea here is you want to get to the place where you set it and forget it. Now, I'm a huge proponent of this because it totally frees up your energy. You set things up once, and then you forget about it. All the other creative energy that you have, you can bring to bear on the things that are really your gifts that you're bringing out into the world. Not fussing and worrying about when that bill's coming to be paid. You're not clogging up your mind, your heart, or your energy system with thinking or worrying about bills all month long. So, you know, you might be feeling some contraction right now because you might be in more living into that paycheck to paycheck kind of place. And I do know what this is like, by the way. Trust me, I've been there many times where I've had, you know, $300 worth of bills and only $200 in my account, for example. So I totally understand what it's like and what it feels like to have to juggle your money, juggle your accounts. So if that's you, you don't need to feel embarrassed or ashamed about it, but you do need to make a decision to get yourself out of it, out of that situation. Now, no matter what your financial situation is, whether it's no problem and you have all the money that you need to pay your bills or not, it doesn't matter. The system is identical. First of all, you want to have a system, and what I recommend is that if you're somebody who has more money flowing and basically you're able to cover everything each month, then once a month or twice a month, pick a date for your schedule. And you want to pick specific dates. So it's not just twice a month when you have to happen to think of it. Make it like the 1st and the 15th or the 5th and the 20th or whatever it is. You want to mark that in your calendar. You know, the steps I'm giving you in this exercise are very direct and instructive. So you want to pick once or twice a month. And even if you set up automatic bill payments, you want to make sure that you're keeping your money date to track and review the payments to ensure that there are no unexpected charges that your automatic payment didn't cover. Now, back to the other situation. If you're somebody whose money is a little bit tighter, you might be worried about overdraft protection and having to deal with that, or you might be worried about having that $200 and you've got $300 you have to pay. My recommendation is that you probably look at 3 or 4 times a month even. Just have a payment schedule. What matters the most is having the, is having the schedule written down in your calendar, might be your iPhone, whatever it is. You have it in there and it's not left to chance. It's where you will see it, and you only have to worry about it on that day when you go and look at it. So I want to talk about people who have a lot to juggle. And if that's you, no worries. We're going to help you with that. This is going to shift for you over the next several weeks. So if this is you, you might be thinking, I don't have the money, and so what's the normal temptation? Normal temptation is to go into denial. I'm not even going to look at those bills. And that's really a mistake, because how you do money is how you do everything, and that avoidance and denial just perpetuates and creates more avoidance. It creates a lot more fear, drama, and chaos. And when it comes to money, you want the excitement of, woohoo, I have more money coming in, but you don't want that drama and chaos. And we're actually going to look at finding some of that money in a few minutes. The schedule and more frequent schedule are critical. So you look at it as a money date with yourself, and you can check that out. So even if it's once a week and you sit down and you say, oh, gosh, I have $300 worth of bills and I've got $200 in the bank account, you're still keeping that date, but you're saying instead, so if I have $200, what are my choices here? What are my actions? I want you to notice the difference. When I said you had $300 worth of bills and $200 in the bank, did you feel the energy of that and how it contracts? It's not very joyful. It feels like a struggle. But as soon as I say, what are my options? What are my choices? What I feel, and I assume you guys feel, is that the energy starts to expand. And I'm an incredibly intuitive person and know that you guys are as well. And you can feel the energy start to lift. It really frees your creativity, your creative energy, to start coming up with a new answer. You know, maybe you go and you have a yard sale, or maybe you go and you get another client, and you can make up that difference. It's okay to feel those good feelings about money, period. It's even okay to feel those good feelings when you're looking at that situation of not having enough money in the bank this month. Because feeling those good feelings, it's not denial. It's about being empowered and at choice. And that's really what we want. All right. So have it on your calendar. You want to know exactly when the issuing date is of your bills, and you can go in and you can take a look at that in your calendar. All right. So I hope you're hearing how the habits that you start now will see you through. And these are lifelong habits that will help you create ease and comfort around money and a feeling of expansiveness, no matter what it is that you're doing with it. But, you know, here's what's really sad. I know people across the whole spectrum of incomes. I see people making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and they still don't have any money. And it's really sad because there's absolutely no reason for that. They've got clutter, and they need to get through their clutter. Okay, so here's your action steps under practical step number 3. You want to decide what schedule fits your situation. Is it 1, 2, 3, or even 4 times a month? And you want to schedule that date in your calendar each month. Know exactly what those dates are. And then you can go back to using page 2 of who owes the money that you owe others, to identify your bill schedules. So you may have some that you're going to be paying off in short term, and you may also have some regular recurring bill payments as well. So you want to include that in your action steps. All right, let's move on to practical step number 4. This is about using gift cards. Now, you might be surprised to see this here, but I bet some of you still have some gift cards that you received over the holidays at Christmas time. You know, maybe your grandmother still sends you a check for $20 after all these years. She forgets that you're a grown-up and making your own money. You know, my in-laws just sent us a birthday check for our dog, Ripley. How cute is that? Now, it's easy to have those gift cards and gift checks just sit there unused. But remember, it's a form of money. It's a form of cash. Somebody spent that money and put it into the gift card or the envelope and gave it to you as a gift. Go spend it on something. Treat yourself. These are things that you're really meant to have. You know, I love getting gift cards, and sometimes I get them for speaking somewhere, like an honorarium. So I might receive them for Chapters, bookstore, You know, and I love those because I'm a book fiend and I always have been. And, you know, many of these gift cards are really practical. Even if you don't normally shop at that store, go check it out. Buy yourself something there you wouldn't ordinarily buy. This is a real treat for you, and you want to get into the practice of having that money. However you receive these gift cards or gift checks, one rule, one simple rule, remember, money can be very simple. Do not use them to pay your bills. That's one of my rules. This gift money is for you. You want to go buy yourself something. Go get a facial or whatever it is you want to do. The gift money is just that. It's a gift. The person gave it to you for a reason. They want you to have this gift. They want you to treat yourself. You know, Ripley's getting a new raincoat because she wants that gift. She wants that birthday money. So don't let that money sit there and grow old and moldy in your wallet or shove it in a drawer either. You know, I know someone who confessed to having close to $3,000 in unused gift certificates and gift cards. That's huge. Some of them were so old they'd already expired. So this money had been spent by the person who wanted to give her the gift, but it was no longer any good. It was expired. She just couldn't bring herself to spend the money. She felt some kind of guilt or negative energy around it. And that's really sad. So you don't want to be that person. I want you to go out. This is part of your assignments, is to go out and look for any gift cards and treat yourself. And remember that the person who gave you the gift card and why, what was the occasion? So you can celebrate that experience. You can celebrate that person for coming into your life and celebrate that money that's coming into your life and what it gives to you. And this is a little bit of a hint for our third module as well when we're preparing for increase, is get comfortable with that. You know, get comfortable with the notion that money really needs to flow. And, you know, it's like water. Money needs to flow. Think about what's happening under the water if it's all dammed up. What happens to water? It stagnates. It grows algae. And it isn't usable for anything, just like those expired gift cards. Nothing good can really live in stagnant water. It's the same thing with money. Now, the flow of money doesn't mean you don't save money. You might even have some issues and emotional stuff and need a breakthrough around that, about having money and holding on to it. And for women especially, saved money can create a real feeling of security that can actually be priceless, but we might be uncomfortable with it at the outset. It can almost be, it's almost that you can't describe it because it feels so good to have that kind of security. So saving is fine, but there's a way to do that so it still has a feeling of flow to it. Because generally speaking, money needs to flow. You don't want to be hanging on to it with one hand and open up with the other hand and expect money to come into you. So don't be hanging on to those gift cards with a tight fist. You want to let it flow. All right, so there's your action step. Go out there and list all the gift cards, all the gift certificates, all the gift checks that are waiting for you, and then list out where you can spend that money and start thinking about what you're going to do. And go and have fun with that. Treat yourself with that. All right. Step number five, practical step number five, you want to be gathering any loose money. All right. So this might be loose change. It could literally be the change that's in between your sofa cushions. Now, it's about clutter, right, because it's stuck there under the cushion. And I know this sounds silly, but again, how you do money is how you do everything. You know, sometimes people are just throwing money around. You can see that now in Canada, especially with now that pennies, you know, I see pennies on the ground all the time. We might have money thrown in the bottom of your purse or in the back seat of the car, or just, again, under the couch cushions. Pennies, quarters, whatever it is, it's money. First of all, it's a disrespectful thing to do to just throw money on the floor, or just throw money out. Because, again, how you do money is how you do everything. You want to give that money respect. And it's when people are not respecting money that they disempower themselves. You know, money doesn't have control over you. That's ridiculous. You know, we put ourselves in situations like this because we're not fundamentally respecting money. And what that means is we're ultimately not respecting. There's something in ourselves that we're not respecting. So go ahead and respect money. Go ahead and gather up all of that loose change. This is about going and finding all that money. Whatever you want to do with it is fine. Put it in your wallet. But, you know, really what you want to be thinking about is exchanging the change, the loose change, for bills so that you get used to having larger pieces of money. So you can take it to the bank and change it in, or go take it to the bank, put it in your savings account and get ready, or your checking account. You want to be thinking about what you're going to be using that money for. Because one of the things you want with money is you want to start getting used to being around and being comfortable with larger amounts of money. Now, I'm not advocating going into debt about buying things. This isn't about being frivolous. What I'm saying is about being comfortable around it. So if you're not at this moment, like if you wouldn't be comfortable sitting in a luxury car or having a pair of $1,000 shoes on your feet, that's an opportunity for a breakthrough. It doesn't mean you have to buy it. It's are you comfortable with it? So even by starting having larger amounts of money in your wallet, that can start to make a difference. So collect all that change, transfer it over, whatever it is. Maybe you've got like, you know, $100 in loonies or toonies saved up, or you're dumping it in your jar. Go ahead, take it to the bank, translate it into cash, into money, paper money, put it in your wallet, see how that feels rather than having all this loose change around. All right. So that's part of your assignment. I want you to notice what the number is that you start to feel a little uncomfortable around having money in your wallet, and notice what comes up around that. And I want you to bring that to your money breakthrough session, because we can break through that barrier. And I want you to take all of your loose change and translate that into a larger currency. Put it in your savings account. Decide what you're going to do with that. All right, last practical step, number 6. This is a really cool exercise. And what you're going to want to do is I want you to go and grab your wallet. I want you to go grab your wallet. Pull out your wallet, because this is a fun exercise around enlightening your wallet. Now, if you've read my newsletters, you'll remember I wrote about this a couple of months ago, about my exercise with doing this, because here's what you want to do as a nutshell. You want to take out your wallet and you want to look at it. And when I told you about my wallet, I told you how proud I was to not have one of those massive wallets that many women used to have that was, you know, jammed with your checkbook, your Filofax calendar. This is before, you know, PDAs, the personal data assistants or whatever they were called, and bazillions of photos of their pets, their kids, their friends. I was so proud of my little tiny weenie wallet because I didn't have to carry around one of those ginormous ones. But the thing, here's the thing, my wallet, even though it was tiny, got so jammed with the half a dozen credit cards that I used to manage, the affinity cards, the discount cards for everything, that my wallet stretched out so much, I couldn't even downsize my cards without having the rest of it all fall out. You know? So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pull out your wallet and take a good look at it. You know, many women's wallets look like absolute crap. Is yours dirty? Is it ragged? Does it look worn out? Or is it so stuffed that you can't even zip it or snap it closed? And look inside it. What's in it? Is it stuffed with all kinds of receipts, all kinds of stuff that you don't really look at? So you want to do this. You want to dump it out. You want to clean out everything in your wallet that's not necessary, that's not in flow, that's not joyful. So you want to take out those receipts. You want to take out those ticket stubs. And by the way, you want to make this a weekly habit. You know, when I did clean out my wallet when everything fell out and I had to go in and look at it, I found coupons that had expired a year ago. So they weren't gift certificates, but they were coupons that are for things that I generally like to get. And they were useless to me, but they were taking up space. They were cluttering my wallet. Now, the other thing I want you to do is open up your wallet and look at it and look inside and see what's missing. Because what was not in my wallet, I had all those credit cards, I had all those discount cards, I had all those receipts for things that I bought, but what I typically did not carry around in my wallet was cash. I was used to, you know, doing the debit card thing. Now I really insist that I have some cash in my wallet because it feels good. Not because I'm going to spend it or not because I want to spend it, but it feels good. That's what should be. You want in your wallet. You want to have some cash in your wallet. You want to get used to, again, back to the previous step, you want to get used to having money, all right? So, you know, and it's not true for everybody. Some of you, I know, have very neat, tidy, nice, and pretty wallets, and that's fine. I still want you to look at your wallet, and I want you to ask yourself, what is that my wallet saying about my relationship with money? So if you need to go out and buy a new wallet, go and buy a new wallet. It doesn't have to be an expensive one. You can get an inexpensive one that is at least new, fresh, and clean, and it gives you a fresh start to decide what are those things that you need to have in your wallet, the essential pieces of identification. What do you want to have in your wallet that signifies your positive relationship with money, the flow of money? Have that be a beautiful place. This is what keeps your money. And it's a place that you've poured quite a lot of your life energy into it. So let's have it be beautiful and make you feel good when you bring it out. Get rid of all that clutter, all the receipts, the 20 different cards, whatever it is. You know, there's new apps now out for iPhones, if you have an iPhone, that I'm just discovering. Brand new app that you can use all your affinity cards. I can go and I can put my Starbucks card, for example. I don't even have to worry about having that in my new wallet. I can put it on my iPhone. So there's all kinds of ways we can look at decluttering some of these things. All right. So you're going to have, that's your assignment. You want to make your wallet beautiful, enlighten your wallet. And that's the end of our practical steps. These are the six practical steps. You have your handout that lists those practical steps. You can use that as your guide for going through your assignment. Okay. So I've given you a bunch of assignments throughout the six. And I really want you to focus on the top three that you know are going to give you the most traction. And I really want you to decide what those top three are and make sure that you do those three steps this week coming up. So you're going to be doing all of the steps in all six of the practical steps as well as your mindsets. But for this week coming up, I want you to pick the top three so that over the course of the next week, you're going to be working on that. And I want you to notice what's shifting for you as you're making these changes. And later this week, I'm going to send you a link to an online accountability journal where you're going to be able to share that. Not with everybody. This is just a journal for yourself, and you send it to me. And so I can see all the different impacts that you're having in your own world. Now, just to remind you that next week is going to be your bonus call with Melody LeBaron. And we've got some time now. We're going to move into our question and answer area. So I am going to take us off lecture mode, and we're going to go into our Q&A discussion portion. All right, just one second while I set that up. Okay, so we now have time for questions. So I want to ask, who has a question, something you'd like to share? Maybe it's something that you're taking on for this week. Okay, who'd like to start? Maybe you're noticing something coming up. If you've got yourself off on mute, you wanted to use star 7 to come off mute.
I was noticing my irritation, actually. when you kept saying, you know, how you do money is how you do mm-hmm. everything. And I was trying to, so I was trying to hear that actually in a, you know, I was trying to take that into a real empowering place mm-hmm. as opposed to, it actually felt, it was interesting, it was my probably critique. Mm-hmm. Being, you know, kind of hard on myself right now. And so it's just interesting because it's one of the things that I'm known for. So it's like, and I was hearing that. So it was just, I was getting this almost like, you know, when you get sort of a, like, it's like a cross breeze or something, or something's coming in and saying, no, maybe you're really not actually good at empowerment. So it was an interesting, so I was trying to shift it, and I was realizing you were saying it a number of times, and I was thinking, gosh, we should stop saying that. You know,
so you were getting triggered.
Yeah, exactly. I was getting triggered, and I thought, oh, gosh, and then I just started to laugh about it because I just thought, oh, gosh, she's obviously, you know, I wasn't upset with you at all, but I was just upset with the whole, it was a trigger around the empowerment and how to actually move from that place where just really that place of openness and really just being, you know, open to the learning, open to this, as opposed to feeling like it's almost like pushing me more into that, the place where I'm in, which is some level of stuckness.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
It absolutely makes sense, right? Because and good and wonderful. I applaud you, big woohoo for noticing that about yourself. And also, by the way, you just practice moving from that contraction to expansion by laughing. What a great remembrance, right? If we can't laugh at ourselves, who can we laugh at? That's a simple trick, too. A simple tip, by the way, is laughter can be a great way to shift that energy, too. Physiologically, it actually shifts your energy. So
yes.
Great noticing.
Yeah.
And
if I can say it, though, in another way, like it's, I don't know, I mean, maybe it sounds like, I'm not trying to work it over here, but there's something about saying it in a way actually that is empowering for me. Like what you were suggesting in terms of kind of the flow, just the whole, you know, paradigm and the flow and habits and all of those things. That's very empowering. But actually saying that is actually doesn't feel empowering for me right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I'm noticing that.
So I'm curious then. If that feels disempowering to say how you do money is how you do everything, what is that saying to you about how you do everything?
Well, I don't see how I do everything as disempowering.
And it sounds like then that you're feeling disempowered around the money, how you're doing money?
Yeah.
So there's the nub. This is a beautiful place. This is a beautiful place to enter it. Is if you're feeling disempowered around your money, it's a great way to then examine, okay, so what is it that I'm doing? If you think about it from the practical side for the moment, what is it that I'm doing with my money that I end up feeling disempowered? How can I shift that? Right.
Okay, so I'm just going to write that down. What is it I'm doing with my money?
That's leaving you feeling disempowered. And what else could you be doing, you know? So, for example, take a look at these six steps. Which one of these six steps could I be shifting and doing something different that I will feel more empowered? Because definitely you want to be moving into that empowered place. Yeah,
and I just, even since signing up, a number of things, there already is, like, different things of waves of empowerment. So I'm seeing things, like, different things that are, and gifts that are being given to me and me acting differently. So it's not a blanket statement, but it's interesting when you said that, I was like, oh, like, just feeling, that's actually one of my gifts and what I help other people with. So really, almost actually was a double. Right, it was almost like a double.
You were getting it on multiple levels.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, and I thought, wow, I got to just speak to this.
Well, you know, the fascinating thing about the statement, how you do money is how you do everything, is it's really a riff on a statement that's been out there for years, is how you do anything is how you do everything.
Right, yes, right.
It's just a riff on that. Yeah,
it is.
It's just a riff on that, but it's bringing it specifically into money because we can use money as that mirror to how am I living my life? If I'm doing this with my money, where else am I doing this? Or if I'm doing this with my paperwork, where am I doing that with my money? We can look at it as a lens to look in either direction.
See, that's more positive, though, for some reason. It's something probably, getting hooked in sort of that phrase and as a way of condoning as opposed to just kind of breaking it free and kind of seeing where there is like movement and stuff. So not making it a blanket statement. So I'm hearing it too much as a blanket statement. So thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for asking the question. I'm sure others got great value from you asking that question.
I hope so.
And thank you for opening up about being triggered there. That was wonderful. Good work.
Okay.
Good work.
You're welcome.
All right. Who else has a question or something you'd like to talk about? Maybe something that came up for you. Well, ladies, we do have our next call coming up around conversations. So let me just ask you, who has a conversation they know they've got coming up that they might be feeling a bit uncomfortable about? You might be looking forward to that call.
I do. Yeah, I have one that, I haven't been able to resolve. So the question is, I'm going to try to actually just kind of approach it differently somehow and, you know, maybe get some coaching. I have actually had a number of coaching sessions. So, but I'm just going to work, I'm going to put in place the things. Like, I'm going to look at kind of what the three things that I can focus on and just see if that sort of shifts things before I have the conversation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The person's avoiding me, won't let me talk to them. So,
Yeah. So they're in avoidance too, or they have been anyway.
Right. Yeah. But I think, you know, as once the shift happens within me, then it creates a different perspective and also different way to actually ask for it. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I'm going to focus on myself and lead from that place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know that you know this work fairly well, by the way, is giving you a precursor into what it means to be having these kinds of conversations. Is it does start with within. It definitely starts within, and great noticing and tip that when we shift our own inner energy, we can also shift that for the other person in the conversation. So something to think about there. All right, ladies, is there any other question or something you want to touch on today?
This is Jodi again. I just have a really quick thing, Carrie.
Mm-hmm.
Around the wallets, you know, it's all good points around keeping what's essential and all of that. And do you suggest in terms of keeping anything sort of symbolic, obviously money is symbolic, that it's flowing. I mean, I have some coins, some special coins kind of that are related to feng shui. But I just wondered if you had any suggestion about that.
Oh, you know, the idea is that it be a beautiful place.
Okay.
If that does not symbolize clutter or stuck energy to you, if it symbolizes to you, inner wealth, for example, as opposed to the monetary wealth, or it might symbolize joy. These are positive things. What we want to be most ensuring when we're talking about enlightening our wallet, which means not only lightening it, like taking the extra bulk and weight out of it, but really opening it up so it becomes, the wallet itself becomes expansive. So, you know, as long as it's that energy, as you said, is about flow, it's about symbolizing the good things, the things you want to draw to you. Having pictures of your loved ones in your wallet is, by the way, not something I'm encouraging people to take out. It's whether they are causing a certain amount of clutter. You know, we want to be have things be clean and accessible and attractive and positive. And, you know, when we have the call with Melody next week, you brought the feng shui, she's going to talk about that as well, about how the energy in our spaces can also be flowing and help support this. So it's a good tip, good idea. Thanks for asking that.
Okay.
All right, ladies. Well, I look forward to speaking with you all again next week. We'll have our bonus call with Melody. And just so you know, that we won't be able to have a Q&A portion on that call. Melody is going to be giving you lots of content, and if you know you have a question already you want to have Melody touch on, you can simply send an email to support@GallantSolutionsInc.com and let us know what that is, and I'll be sure that Melody sees those questions. She's always interested in knowing what people bring to the call. All right, everybody, great work today. It's been a fun time hanging out with you all, and good luck with your assignments this week. I can't wait to see your journal entries for this week when we send them out. All right.
Thanks very much, Carrie.
Thank you all. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.